Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Well, good morning and welcome to Reveal Your Excellence with the on-camera coach, Renee Ellison. I'm Renee Ellison. And first of all, I just want to apologize because I'm a little congested this morning and I'm hoping that I sound a little bit better than I did yesterday because I sounded kind of like Russ yesterday, you know, very gravelly and very congested. And I'm hoping that the voice holds up for the next hour. So, you know, this hour is very special to me because I've been kind of looking forward to it for the last several months since I actually started the show. Judy Wolf, executive coach Judy Wolf, is just a dynamic coach and friend, and she is so centered and so supportive and has used her insightful life coaching skills to help so many people see the best in themselves. And she's going to be on the show today talking about business basics. We're basically going to be talking about the nuts and bolts of starting a business. Judy's expertise is in marketing, and she will give you some insight from her perspective about how to kind of get your business rocking and rolling. And without, before we actually get into the interview, I just want to preview and promo some shows that are coming up on Life Coach Radio Networks in the next several weeks. On October 28th on Wednesday, Think Tank is going to be on the air, and that's that topic is letting go and moving forward. Jan Jaffe, Charissa Sebastian, and Susan Gonzalez are going to be on the air at 12 p.m. Talking about that. And then on Thursday, 10/29, Walk Your Talk with Lee Ann, the Adoption Summit Experience. Come climb with us. And that's going to be on at 7 p.m. And then later in November, on the 11th, Your Best Life with Jan Jaffe, and that's at 12 p.m. So definitely tune in for those shows. Awesome coaches on Life Coach Radio Networks. And I wanted to also let you know that we have a great coach, a career coach, who is doing a show on Life Coach Radio Network. She also does a show on the chat channel. Her name is Trina Ramsey, Coach Trina Ramsey. She's a career coach. She's going to be featured on my upcoming show called Embrace Life with Renee, which is going to air in the Philly market November 1st. And Trina is going to be talking a little bit about how to kind of get yourself employed, or if you're underemployed, how you can kind of pump up your job search strategy to get yourself out of that situation. So that's coming up on November 1st. Tune in if you're in the Philly market, and I'll also be posting some links on social media as well. So without any further ado, let's reintroduce the incredible Judy Wolf. You know, I met Judy as many of the guests that I've had on Reveal Your Excellence have been colleagues and peers of mine from my IPEC experience. And I remember the first day that I laid eyes on this lady, I just thought that she was just not only physically beautiful, but just beautiful from the inside out because of her spirit, because of her centeredness. And we have just become, I believe, you know, the best of friends. And I consider her not just a friend, but a sister because of the support that she's given me, not only personally, but also with creating my business. Her insight has just been invaluable. So without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Judy Wolf. Hi, Judy.
Hey, Renee. Oh, my gosh. My heart is shining right now. I'm glowing. You're amazing.
No, you're amazing. You're amazing. And
let's just spend the next hour telling each other how amazing we are.
Let's do that. Let's do that. And And I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to spend with me on Reveal Your Excellence and, you know, just basically talk about something that I believe my genuine opinion is your expertise, which is building a business, starting a business, marketing a business. So let's just get into the questions. I'm wondering, what are some reasons why people want to start their own business?
You know what? That's a great question. And I think that the reasons are just as varied as humanity. So, you know, everyone's going to have their own reasons coming in. But, you know, some of the more common ones that you hear when you're talking to people, you know, sort of top of mind reasons, you know, some of it's control. People may be over their flexibility over their schedule. They want to be in, you know, the boss of themselves. They really want to create something that's theirs. But a lot of it can be flexibility, that elusive creature that we think of as work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, choosing who you get to work with, things like that are very important to people. Quite often it's an opportunity for people to follow their passion. There might be something that's been percolating in the back of your mind for however long, and it's just that you reach that time in your life where you've got the skills, you've got the expertise, you've hopefully got that financial backing and solid foundation, and you're ready to launch this idea that has been growing in you. And so that can be that opportunity to reinvent yourself and follow your heart, follow your passion is can be a huge piece of it for people.
That definitely, I'm sorry, Judy, you continue.
Oh no, please go ahead.
I was going to say that definitely resonates with me and with a lot of the people who I've connected with, that whole, you know, I want to be the boss of me. I want to have that element of control and also, you know, just kind of follow my passion instead of focusing on somebody else's passion and somebody else's dream to mm-hmm. kind of do me for a change. It makes sense.
Yeah, taking all that energy that you have and all that enthusiasm and wonder and putting that out in the world in a way that supports, as you just described, your own vision.
Mm-hmm.
I have a colleague I work with at the Small Business Development Center who is, I love how she expresses this, that every business owner is an artist in their own way. Because they are creating this vision and they are following their passion and they are, you know, just in how you go about creating that and how that expresses itself in the world. Because a huge piece and another big reason, and I think you just touched on it, is that opportunity and that pride that you feel when you're taking what's inside you and you're creating and defining your own brand, your own service, your own shape of what you're going to do, and you're putting those ideas out in the world and you're seeing what happens and you're getting direct feedback for this expression of yourself in the form of people coming and doing business with you.
Now, you touched a little bit on that whole idea of having a vision, having your own passion, having the financial resources in order to be able to do it. What are some of the most important things that you really need in order to start your own business?
That's, yeah. Besides, you know, there's some obvious things, like, you know, having some knowledge in the area that you're looking to enter.
Right.
You want to have a network of trusted resources. That could be, you know, that includes like an accountant, financial advisor, attorneys. You want to make sure you have mentors out there, both people who've done what you're looking to do and can give you advice when you hit stumbling blocks, and then also your support network, your friends and family and colleagues who are going to be able to have those conversations with you where you need to hear yourself think and figure out what you're going to do next and who are behind you when you hit those hard times and challenges. So you want to make sure that you put the time and effort into developing a solid business plan. Now, some of those are the just core to starting a new business. But even more than that, I think the most critical aspect of starting your own business is figuring out whether or not you are actually cut out for entrepreneurship. Because, yeah, it can be really hard work. And it's, it's on some level you have this dream, and there are many different ways to manifest that dream. And entrepreneurship, starting your own business, you have to be ready for what that entails. So it's the hard work. You're going to wear multiple hats. You know, that line between work and home is going to disappear for a while. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's your thing. There's no, like, you don't, like, close the door at 5 o'clock and go home and it's somebody else's problem. it's still your problem. And depending on what kind of business you have, there may be issues that arise 24 hours a day that you are going to ultimately have to find ways to handle because it is yours. So there'll be, you know, between that, there'll be financial feasts and famines. People have to be ready for that. I remember when I first went into freelancing and you'd be, you know, you're either, since you're doing everything, you're either scrambling for work or you've got too much work or you're doing these, I'm making that sine cosine curve with my hand because you're going up, you're going down, you're going feast, you're going famine. And you have to be ready emotionally and financially. You have to be able to handle that kind of flux, especially as you're starting a business or relying on yourself as a sole practitioner of some kind. So,
because at some point you have to answer to someone anyway, whether it's sponsors or clients, you know, you have to make sure you're paying your quarterly taxes, you
right.
know, all the
utility company.
Utility company. There's so many different elements to being self-employed, especially when you're starting off and there's no foundation laid. You know, just out of curiosity, what do you think is the difference between maybe doing your own business from scratch or maybe having a franchise? How do you think
that's a good question.
That might be different?
That's, I mean, you're looking at with a franchise many times, and especially if you're doing your research and figuring out, there's a lot of resources out there to see what are the best, most supportive franchises, which require the most investment, what's the history and track record that they have. You can speak to other owners who've done a similar sort of thing, and there's models out there. There's different levels of support. There's also, in many cases, less control. You're not defining, you know, some of that cookie cutter approach. You're not necessarily defining for yourself what you're doing. So you have to be ready to let go of some of that. Maybe you want that. Maybe you don't. So knowing for yourself if it's appropriate for you and what your actual goals are with what you're doing, I think, is an important question that gets asked with something like that.
That sounds great. Now, we have a caller on the line, and before we go to the caller, I just want to open up the phone lines to anyone who might be interested in talking to Judy today about business basics. The call-in number is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. Okay, 908 caller, you're on the line with Judy and Renee. How can we help you today? Are you there? You can press 1 in order to be connected. Looks like we lost them. Okay, we'll keep that line open just in the event that they are able to connect. Maybe it was a phone issue. But we talked a little bit about capital. So, Judy, how important is it to have that capital? And how much capital do you need? I guess it depends on the business, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, It's a great question to be asking, Renee, because how you fund your company until it's supporting itself and ultimately you is really one of the questions that you need to be able to answer. Because as you were describing before, you're going to have bills. You're going to have responsibilities. So how you fund not just your business but your lifestyle until your business is doing that for you requires capital. So how much capital depends on what sort of business you're starting, what sort of operations and marketing are part of your plans. Sometimes people have, based on how much capital you have, you may get creative about how you're going about doing some of these things. And that's some of the creative challenges that come in when you're starting your own business, especially that bootstrap and beginnings kind of stage. And that can be one of those questions when you're doing your gut check on whether entrepreneurship is for you. One of the questions you'll be asking yourself, how creative am I? Am I good at problem solving? Do I like that kind of challenge when it comes to strategizing around the issues that may arise?
Right. And no, I was just going to comment on that, what you mentioned about bootstrap, you know, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, that's kind of what it means, that struggle to get to the point where you're thriving financially, even though you may have started with very little. I've known of people who have funded their business on, you know, credit cards and gotten started that way and ended up being able to make enough capital to pay that back. I've known people who've gotten loans. I've known people who've gotten, you know, just inheritance and have been able to start businesses as a result. So there's so many different options and so many different scenarios, I guess, that go into play. So Judy, if you could tell us a little bit about the organization that you work with and how they serve small business owners.
Of course. Yay, thanks for asking. This is one of my favorite things to talk about. I mean, and as you know, like I followed my heart and went in back into community service, a few months ago now. And I'm so lucky to be working for this fantastic organization. It's a small business development center. So for any of your listeners who are unaware of this fantastic free resource that is supported by our tax dollars, thank you for asking, because I love broadcasting this as an opportunity for small business owners to tap into. Mm-hmm. There are more than 900 service sites for the small business development centers throughout the U.S. So they are designed to be within a certain driving distance of anyone in the country and the U.S. territories and protectorates. So there is one near you. And they offer no-cost, confidential, one-on-one business advisement services, as well as low-cost or no-cost training and other specialized support services to small business owners specifically. So our goal is to create community and economic development. Like, we are here to help small business owners create the jobs that drive the economic engine that is our U.S. economy. So I don't know if you know this, but 99.7% of all employers nationally are small business.
No, I didn't know that.
How cool is that? Yeah, how
cool
is that?
That's a huge number. Mm-hmm.
I know. We're so important, like small businesses. Anyway, there's so many great statistics about small business out there. But as a free resource, we are supported by Small Business Administration federal funds, state funds, and then we are typically run through the state university systems. So we tap into, private sector resources, state education, and federal resources to really bring all those to bear on behalf of small business owners. So, again, your tax dollars at work, tap into us. It's a fantastic organization. And then, of course, there are also, SCORE chapters out there. That's a nonprofit organization that has volunteer business mentors with over 300 chapters throughout the U.S. There are women's business centers, veterans business outreach centers, minority business development agencies. So there are resources out there that at no or low cost for small businesses to tap into.
That's really amazing. First of all, that it's free and or low cost, and that there's so many centers all over the country to be able to tap into and to be able to get that kind of business consulting. So, Judy, how does it work if someone were interested in approaching SBDC about a business idea they have, or maybe something that's already underway? How would they go about connecting?
Basically, I'm going online just to double check the website. I want to say it's Americas with an S on the end, SBDC, and I want to confirm whether it's .com or .org. I should know this. I just know our local one. But you can go and to the Americas SBDC, and there is a zip code finder so that you can look up your local small business development center, and it will give you the contact information for that.
That's great. So we'll come back to that as you're searching.
Perfect.
I'm questioning, too, how your work in this area has influenced your own coaching practice, because not only do you work for SBDC, but you also have your own coaching practice that is related to helping people not only develop personally but professionally and develop their own businesses. So how has the work kind of complemented each other?
It's what's amazing about, I'm so fortunate to be in this role because, A, I get to work with all these amazing, unique business owners, and, B, I get to be constantly educating myself. So mm-hmm. That's part of our role as advisors, is to be constantly staying on top of what's going on. And I happen to specialize in government contracting and procurement, so I'm constantly staying on top of what's happening in terms of opportunities for minority and women-owned business enterprises throughout, at the federal, state, and local levels. How can they be connecting with opportunities to contract at the in the private sector arena as well? I mean, so we get to always be learning. And that, to me, it helps enhance, obviously, the knowledge that I can then also bring to any coaching clients. But it also, I think even more so that working with both the business owners and the advisors at the Small Business Development Center, because what we do is different. Like with the coaching practice, I'd be more really working with somebody who was starting up their practice to bring out their own answers. I would be working with them through this discovery-based questioning process to – I'm just hearing background noise. I'm wondering if that caller is able to get through.
They're still – there. I don't see them.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to check. To really help them set their own goals and come up with their own answers. Whereas when you're sitting down with an SBDC advisor, that's more about that direct business advisement. Like they would help people put together their financial plan, put together their business plan, help connect them with funding sources, like really working with them as a direct, the SBDC advisor is bringing their expertise to the table and sharing that with the client in a way that educates them and moves them through the steps of developing their business. Whereas in my coaching practice, I'm not telling people what to do. You know, I may share educational sources with them, things like that, where that they could go find out more about on their own. But I'm more that process of, I like to think of it as, whether you're a small business owner and you're doing so much and you've got so much on your plate and you've got all this stuff clogging up your head, that when you set aside 45 minutes every week or every 2 weeks to really create the space to clear out that clutter, gain clarity on what are your next steps, what do you want to be accountable for, and then to have somebody other than yourself who you know is going to ask you to answer for that in whatever way you choose, to keep you accountable and keep you moving forward, and it can just keep you on that path toward achieving your goals in a way that when you're doing it on your own, you can start to feel scattered and you can start to lose sight of where you're going. So to have that, I think of it almost as being somebody's touchstone that keeps them moving through the process. And part of that process might be having regular meetings with their SBDC advisor. So they're very complementary. Mm-hmm. But the when you asked me a question, it made me think one of the things that I've really tapped into is just how unique and determined small business owners are. Like that's, I appreciate that so much. Just that energy that they bring.
And do you think it's because they're trying to catch this momentum, they're trying to grow, and they're looking at midsize and larger businesses and aspiring to be that, to be able to employ people and to be able to make enough money to take care of them and their family. What do you think drives these small business owners, Judy?
I think that is a great question. And again, it's so varied. I mean, but you just tapped into a huge one for many people, like being able to give back to the community in that way and really feel good. I mean, the pride that I hear people describe and the sense of responsibility, but in a good way. It's not that responsibility that burdens you. It's that responsibility that lifts you up and makes you strive. When they recognize the value that they're bringing to the people that work for them, you know, I had one client who just described she was envisioning the company picnic 20 years down the road and
wow.
Helping, yeah, and having the conversation with somebody who is like, oh, yeah, we helped so-and-so put their daughter through college. I mean, because that of their employment with this, you know, it was just like, it's that for her, that's her heart. Like, that's what her, she loves that. That's what drives her. And to me, that's, I hear that over and over again, especially small businesses who are starting to get into that point where they say they started out small, just one person, maybe a partnership, and now they're starting to employ people. And that can be a huge step. I mean, it's incredibly, it's an incredible challenge to find people that you're going to hand your baby over to.
That was actually one of the questions that I had. We'd kind of touched on that during our talk yesterday about employing people and just how difficult it is when you're a small business owner and you may not have the budget to be able to employ people at a level that could support them. But I think the challenge is that sometimes as you start to grow, you do need that help and you need that support. So what are some of the strategies that a person might be able to tap into?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And you just made me think of something I'm going to say before I jump into answering that is I had the opportunity to go to this great forum just about a month or so ago. And one of the speakers had this phrase that I loved where he said, you know what, for small business owners, like thinking about starting to hire people, when you are hesitating about, you know, bringing on an assistant, he goes, if you don't have an assistant, you are the assistant. Think about all the things, the opportunity cost of not hiring somebody to do some of those administrative tasks that right now you are sitting at your computer until 11 p.m. or 1 a.m. or whatever it is doing that you could hand off, whether it was to somebody who lives in your neighborhood or to a virtual assistant if you wanted to go that route. Or, you know, if you can start carving out some of the tasks that you do in a way that can be handed off to somebody else, you free up that time. Anyway, so you mentioned, like, you know, how much to pay people. It's a great question, and I think people tend to get scared when they start thinking about adding overhead like that. You know, that's that administrative person or whoever it is may not be somebody who's bringing in money. I mean, so that's different if you're talking about like a salesperson or something, and then you start looking at, okay, can this person be working on commission or, you know, things like that. But when you're looking at adding pure overhead, or you yourself are looking at becoming more overhead, that starts to be, okay, how are we going to bring in the revenue to support this? So the strategies around that, you know what, if I had the perfect answer for everybody, I would be a gazillionaire.
But yeah, you could write a book.
I could retire, right, exactly.
Yeah, you could retire.
I could write three books.
Well, for those of you who are listening to Judy today and you want to chime in on the conversation, definitely get on the line. The number is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. Now, we're talking about a lot of the different challenges. What are some other challenges that you think small business owners face, Judy? Anything else that you can think of?
You know what? I think one of the we were talking some about, you know, business owners may have that feeling of having more to do than there is time to do it. You know, we've sort of been touching
right.
on that along the way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you add your own sense of urgency to that, and you may have multiple conflicting priorities and all that stuff. So that, to me, is a really important piece of, you know, sort of what we mentioned with the coaching relationship, whether it's through coaching or some other way, making yourself and your business leadership a priority by making sure you carve out that space so that you can dump the clutter and you can really hone in and examine what's going in and you, going on for you, and then you can gain clarity on your next steps. And you can do that creative brainstorming and come up with some solutions and really strategize about where you're going rather than just getting caught up in like putting out fire after fire after fire and forgetting what path you're on.
Mm-hmm. So being specific and deliberate about the way you approach your business is important, and including coaching in that, it's a different, service or a different support.
Yeah.
than a consultant who's giving you the nuts and bolts.
Exactly.
Because the coach is taking a look at you, the business owner, from the inside out and really helping you to be the best person, professional, looking at you holistically, maybe, rather than just as a business owner. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Now, I have a question. It's a little bit different than what we've been talking about, but kind of related. I'm wondering about the niche. You know, we talk a lot about niches during IPEC, and I know that, and I'm going to say this, but you've been kind of anti-niche somewhat in the development of your business. But I'm wondering how important is it to know your niche as you are developing not just a coaching practice, but I don't know, you could be selling widgets, you know, whomever might buy that widget.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for you to know your niche?
You know, knowing your niche, as you just mentioned, it's a super popular concept among marketing gurus. Like, and that is, I believe, the first to admit it is for good reason. Like, if you can hone your product and your service and your message so that it appeals directly to the people you want to have buy it, then obviously you're that much further along towards successfully selling. So if you can efficiently identify who you're selling to so that you know where to target your marketing efforts and how you want to hone what you should be saying to them so that you can encourage them and them specifically to buy from you, like that to me is what niching really helps you accomplish. Because you can talk all day long about like, oh, who's your perfect customer? Like, and what do they do? And, you know, how, do they drive to work or do they take public transportation? Where do you find them? Really what you're wanting to know is, where do I find them? How do I speak to them? How do I get them to take the action I want them to take, which in many cases to ultimately buy your service, right? So one of the things that – one of my issues – you and I have had many conversations around this, but one of the issues that I end up having with that concept of niching is that while it's a fantastic exercise for people to go through, and especially people who are, you know, sole practitioners who are looking at selling themselves, you know, obviously we've had a lot of conversations with other coaches around this. I find the similar sort of thing with other service industry type people, massage therapists, for instance, you know, where you're like, okay, you might have a wider appeal. You might have multiple potential buyers. Same thing with the widgets. There might be multiple audiences. So for those who are struggling to define their niche, I find it can sometimes be interesting to, or helpful to shift the conversation. And instead of trying to think that, thinking about it as a niche, start thinking about it instead in terms of customer benefits. So, yeah, so what are your clients, what do they get out of your product or service? It's easy when you're the person selling it to talk about its features. Oh, it's easy to use or easy to set up or it's, you know, fast or whatever. Why does that matter to your client? You know, the benefit to your client might be that it saves them time so that they can have more time with their family. It eliminates frustration so that they can go through their day feeling more, you know, balanced and holistic. Like, but you have to be able to answer the question, why should your clients care about what it is you're offering? Or otherwise everything you're saying is going to fall on deaf ears.
That makes complete and total sense. So you're not just focusing on what the product does, excuse me, Judy, but you're also putting it in the lap of the customer and you're giving them an opportunity to see how it's not only going to benefit them, but how they can use it in their life in order to gain a more positive experience with their life.
Mm-hmm. And how can they can they envision and feel themselves actually utilizing it and benefiting?
Utilizing the product. That makes total sense. Okay. So I guess the difference between knowing your niche and knowing your customer is what?
You know, and I think knowing your niche, at least how I think of it, it tends to be somewhat conceptual. You're trying to envision, okay, who is it that I'm talking to? Who is it that I'm trying to come up with these benefits for? Because, you know, a stay-at-home mom is going to be different than an executive mom. Like, you know, you've got, you've potentially got different concerns. So if you know who you're speaking with and some of what makes up their day, that's helpful. But it's also still conceptual because it's not until Jane Doe comes in and becomes your client that you can really have a conversation where you genuinely get to know her as an individual and understand her specific needs and wants. And
okay,
what I find is you need to have that conversation. And in some industries like coaching, it's easier to initiate and have that conversation than in others. Like, you know, for service industries, for example, we tend to have these very regular personalized interactions with each individual client. And then in other industries, you're talking about selling widgets, for instance, or you're running a storefront of some kind, you know, there's going to be more traffic. There may be less immediate personalization. So you're going to need to have other approaches. You have to figure out ways to engage your clients so that you can get their ideas, get their opinions, find out their preferences, and ultimately win their loyalty, having engaged them in this conversation with you.
And don't you think sometimes it's trial and error? Like, I hate to sometimes go into the strategizing of my business, thinking of it as an exact science, because sometimes who you think is your customer may not be your customer, based on the individual personality. You know, for the longest time, I always thought that professional women was the customer that I was kind of leaning toward in my coaching practice. And not every professional woman that I come in contact with who even expresses interest in the service either has the time for it, wants to make the time for it, wants to afford it. So sometimes it's really trial and error. And I think, you know, focus groups can help with that. Don't you think so?
I think, well, I'm totally on board with you talking about it being trial and error. Focus groups, people have different opinions on whether to bring in a group of people. You get that sort of groupthink thing that can start to happen in focus groups, where you may or may not.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you can sometimes get good feedback out of it, but sometimes it can start to hone down to one or two single answers, whereas you might get more variety by taking a more one-on-one type approach. So, but not to say there's not a place for any and all of that sort of thing. But what you just described, your trial and error, is you are essentially creating your one-by-one focus group by being willing to go out there, not thinking of it as an exact science. What you just described, even just in your imaginary business person, like, okay, I might think generically I'm going to go after businesswomen, but now we're going to hone it down a little bit more and say, oh, it has to be businesswomen who have the time. And how much time do they need to have? And is there a particular time of day that I want to make myself available that they would be available as well? And then on top of that, they need to be able to afford it. What level are they interested in paying at? Does that meet my price point and my need to make a living? So those are, and if it's not them, then is there another audience out there that fits that better now that I'm aware that those are my criteria? So what you just described on some level is niching. But
okay,
you can do it in motion. So I think back to our conversation about niching, like when people get stopped because they don't know their exact customer, I think you just said it. Like you can learn it as you go on some level, as long as you have an idea before you start.
Yeah.
Don't spend too much time beating yourself up about it. You're learning.
That's so true, yeah. And there needs to be a little bit of a learning curve. So Judy, what is the key to growth in a small business?
Well, I've got that one all figured out. Yeah, that's
just you know, from your objective perspective, what do you think is the key?
My all-knowing objective perspective. No, I'm totally joking around. The key to growth, the number one. Again, this is my next book. No, the number one, I think, if everybody does this. Everybody tuned in? Right, we're cutting it out of the non-live version. The recording won't have this, so only if you're listening live. It's providing great service consistently. Doing what you say you're going to do. Yeah, and then a big part of that, like I said, doing what you say you're going to do. So return phone calls, communicate professionally. You would be shocked. I think at this stage in our lives, probably most people know, like, how many professionals do we know that do not do those simple things, and how do you respond when the contractor doesn't call you back or you have to wait a week to get a response to your email or whatever it is, and you have decisions you're trying to make about who you're going to purchase from. So things like that become critical, and yet because we're so overwhelmed with all the things we're doing, it can be easy to let them slide. So
you're talking about client loyalty, customer service, good old-fashioned taking care, putting the customer first in your business.
Yep.
That's what it sounds like you're saying.
And coming up with strategies for how we're going to make sure that we do things like respond to phone calls, respond to emails. And that may be where, you know, bringing on an assistant of some kind and having somebody who can at least say, hey, it's going to be, you know, we've gotten your email, and acknowledging somebody. There are a variety of ways to go about approaching it, but just really spending some time thinking about how you're going to make sure, because in my marketing mastermind world, I am constantly emphasizing the fact that every single interaction that anyone has with your company is going to leave them with an impression of what it's like to do business with your company. And they talk to people. They are either your client or they know somebody who could be your client. So how you do anything is how you do everything. And every aspect of how people interact with you and the experience they have with you, to me, is the purview of marketing. And the other huge thing, especially for small business owners, is you need to always be networking and building relationships and aware that as a small business owner, you are your brand. So another thing to be ready for when you're starting your business is that PR becomes your life. that means that you have to up your emotional intelligence. I'm going to put in a plug for coaching there, upping your emotional intelligence. But because I don't care if you're having a bad day, you are never going to take it out on the people around you ever again. Like, it is no longer a luxury for the small business owner, because you know what? That person behind you in line, when you take out your frustration on the cashier at the grocery store, could be someone you find yourself in a meeting with next week, considering whether or not they're going to invest in your company.
Wow. Yeah. I love that philosophy. And it's really about building relationships and just always putting your best foot forward, and being aware of how you show up in the world is so important to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, self-awareness is huge.
So, Judy, why do you call your practice Core Integrity Coaching?
You know, thank you for asking that question. For me, it really comes down to that word integrity is so meaningful for me.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it is, for me, it is about honesty and wholeness. And, you know, in fact, and I remember when I was looking at putting the name of the company together, and I'm looking up the dictionary definitions, and I love that one of the definitions is the state of being whole and undivided.
Mm.
And to me, what I was trying to express with the name and with what I'm doing with my practice is that alignment of our interior and our exterior truths. That's, you know, the alignment of our heart and our passion with our thoughts and our actions, our behaviors. And to me, that alignment is key to living a whole, fulfilled, and honest life. So core integrity for me, again, thank you for asking, that represents that alignment of yourself all the way down to our core. And that's what I listen for in people. The breaks that may appear in that alignment that may need healing or may need some awareness in order to shift. So I think of it like a chiropractor. Yeah.
Genuineness.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah. You were saying about a chiropractor?
Oh, no. I came up with this phrase many years ago because I had this great experience in my life that I described as a chiropractic adjustment of the soul. And that sort of it came into play again. Yeah. Yeah. And so that to me is just that, again, that alignment between your interior and your exterior, that integrity all the way through to your core. That's what life is all about, like living that whole full life that everybody is striving for.
Well, I love the way you describe that. And, you know, it's interesting. The next question that I have for you is, what is the Judy Wolf experience like for your clients? And I say that, you know, kind of jokingly in a way, because I think, you know, those of you who are listening to the show for the last 43 minutes can hear Judy's ability to articulate in such a heartfelt, passionate way. And I'm wondering, what makes your practice unique, and what is that like for your clients?
It's funny that that's one of those things that we can never actually truly know for ourselves, right? Like, what is it like to experience you?
Mm-hmm. I want to know from your perspective, and then maybe
from
I'll share.
My perspective.
Yeah, from your perspective.
Ooh. And
yeah.
Then you might share?
And
oh,
then I
awesome.
Might share. Yeah.
Well, so I can tell you what people have shared with me, and I would love to hear what you have to share too. And
yeah.
Here's what I hope the experience is like. The number one thing that I hear from my friends and my clients, and this is part of what made me pursue coaching, is having so many people reflect this back at me about, you know, what you've called the Judy Wolf experience, is they express to me this sense of feeling when they've had a time to be in presence with me and have a conversation with me, or just be, you know, any kind of interaction. It can be a group setting, it can be a one-on-one conversation, but they express to me this sense of feeling deeply heard and being truly seen.
Mm.
And what that says to me is that, and you know, it takes a while, of course, right? It takes years and years and years of hearing this over and over again to go, oh, wow, this is special. This is a gift. This is something that I bring to the world that is so worth sharing and developing and putting out there. But so what I define it as is having a strong ability to just tune in, to just to pay attention and absorb. And for me, it has to do with allowing for complexity and imperfection and just humanity in a way that makes it okay to have that full range, to have that full human experience.
I love that. And that is exactly what I was thinking. No, I'm just kidding. But I can honestly say that the words that you just articulated are they're nothing short of being true, because that whole idea of being deeply heard and truly seen by you, not only that, but it also, it's almost like, just imagine this dry sponge, and then you just drop this droplet of water onto the sponge, and how the sponge just kind of comes alive because it's come in contact with this force that makes it more, its essence more true. That's exactly what I feel like when I'm being coached by you and just as your friend. Because what happens is that you enhance my voice. There's this thing for listeners who may not be aware in coaching, this acknowledgement and validation. And you do that skill, those skills, with such care and such compassion and such love. And that Judy Wolf experience is definitely something that I highly recommend to anyone who might be interested in learning a little bit more about who they are as a professional, who they are as a person. And you've just been a great friend and a great coach for me. So I truly appreciate you. So
thank you. Actually, I'm not going to let you move on, because I think you just said something that is so important to the coaching relationship and just in life in general. And it also speaks to, I think of it, you know, being a healer. Like, people talk about being a healer, and it's almost like, oh, there's some thing in the person who's thought of as a healer that they do to others. And really what you just described is what to me is the truth, that being a healer is about creating and holding a space in which others have the opportunity to heal themselves. And what you just described is, you know, that distilling of an essence, and that really, and reflecting back, even the fact that you focused on the skills of acknowledging and validating, because that's essentially all about hearing purely what the person is saying, not just with their words, but with their whole being, and reflecting it back at them in a way that lets them see themselves and hear themselves more truly. And so really it's about you, if you're in the position of a client, doing that for yourself, but using the coach as the vehicle and tool for creating that opportunity for yourself. So it's just so powerful. I love that you just described it like that.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, I think about, you know, how you've been building your business. You know, we've all, you know, since the majority of us sort of ended the program May, June, July, August, we've all been sort of working on building our business and building our practice. And I'm wondering, you know, just as you have been developing core integrity coaching and developing yourself as the owner of core integrity coaching, what have you learned as a result of building your business that you may not have known before?
You know, it's actually relearning a lesson over and over again, which is, and it's one that I also try to bring to my coaching practice and my peers whenever we're having conversations, is just remembering to be gentle with yourself, remembering to have compassion for yourself, because that's where it starts. Yeah, my first big lessons in this was, you know, came when I was first building my freelancing practice 20 years ago. I'm also a freelance writer, and, you know, the same lessons have held true ever since. You just have to relearn them occasionally. And some of that, too, is stepping up and having confidence in yourself and in those around you, and trusting in the process, which is not always easy. It is easy to get anxious. It's easy to get scared. It's easy to feel overwhelmed. But if you keep putting one foot in front of the other, if you always do your best, if you're gentle with yourself, if you ask for help when you need it, everything always works out. And I like to say everything always works out because we make it work out. It's up to us.
That's great. And we definitely do have the power to not only heal ourselves, but to get the help that we need so that we can heal and so that we can reach our dreams and be able to manifest those things in our life that are kind of maybe stagnant or they're there in terms of thought, but we haven't put them on paper, we haven't brought them to fruition. And to get that help really shows that you are committed and you're connected to making those dreams a reality. And that's what coaching is all about.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Well, how can people reach Judy so that they can experience the Judy Wolf experience?
that's the website I should have gotten, right? The Judy Wolf experience. Information can be found on my website at coreintegritycoaching.com. I've got a Facebook page. I've got Google Plus and Twitter accounts. I've got a blog on the coreintegritycoaching.com. I've also got a newsletter, Core Integrity newsletter, that people can sign up for on the website. And I can also be reached at 725-333-2673. So I offer a variety of coaching packages. I'm open to customization if people have different schedules that don't fit what I happen to have thrown out there. And I always start with a complimentary coaching session so that I can have a conversation and really explore the fit between a potential client and myself and see if we're a good match. And I would love any listeners who resonate with what they've heard of my style and personality, I would love to have them get in touch. We can set something up and find out if what we can create together.
That's great. One more time with your website and phone number, Judy.
CoreIntegrityCoaching.com and 725-333-2673.
Awesome. This has been so much fun.
Truly. I always love talking to you, Renee.
I know. You're my girl. And I thank you so much for, again, just taking time out of your schedule to be with me on Reveal Your Excellence. And we'll be talking again soon, I'm sure.
Yes, it has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to all your listeners who tune in as well. This is such a great resource.
All right, honey. Have a great day. Enjoy.
You too. Love you.
Love you too. Love you
back.
Bye,
sweetie.
Bye-bye. That was Judy Wolf and the Judy Wolf experience. I just love that girl. And for those of you who were listening to the program and want to get in touch with Judy and just chat with her, please log on to her website, coreintegritycoaching.com, or you can call her at 725-333-2673. Just a reminder that we have several shows coming up this week and in November. On Wednesday, Think Tank, Letting Go and Moving Forward, and that's with Jan Jaffe, Sharissa Sebastian, and Susan Gonzalez. That's at 12 p.m. Also on the 29th, which is Thursday, Walk Your Talk with Leanne, the Adoption Summit Experience. Come climb with us. That's at 7 p.m. And on the 11th of November, Your Best Life with Jan Jaffe. That's at 12 p.m. So I hope that you have an opportunity to tune into those shows. And also remember that we have, Embrace Life with Renee coming up on November 1st. That is a Sunday at 7 p.m. on WMCN in the Philadelphia market. I will be sending out links to the different segments, but I just wanted to highlight some of the guests that were going to be on the show. Dr. Dana Lightman talking about power optimism, and Coach Trina Ramsey, who is a career coach here at Life Coach Radio Networks, will also be on my debut show. I think that that about wraps it up for today. Just remember, you know, some of the things, hold some of the things that Judy mentioned in her heart. If you have a passion, if you are looking basically to be the boss of yourself, to have that freedom and flexibility, if you want to be an artist in your own way and own your own brand and offer services that you really, truly believe in, building your business is really an incredible way for you to do that. Small businesses are dominant in the marketplace and so important. And it's a lot of work, and it definitely involves a lot of heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears. But it's definitely worth it. I work full time, and I also have my own business. And I feel like my business is my baby. You know, it's something that fuels my soul and gives me that little extra push of excitement and energy that I need sometimes to make it through my day and my week. And it's something that I can truly call my own. So if you're interested in building your own business and you want to learn a little bit more about that, get in touch with Judy Wolf, and she'll take you through some nuts and bolts of how to do that. But she'll also take a look at who you are as a professional, as a person, and help you to cultivate that business owner within. So thank you again for tuning in today, tuning in this morning. Again, I apologize for the crazy voice and the congestion. Hopefully I'll be better in 2 weeks, and we'll have an incredible show for you. Remember that Reveal Your Excellence with the On-Camera Coach Renee Ellison is on every second and fourth Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. on Life Coach Radio Networks. And when we, let's see, I'm trying to find my next show. My next show is going to be Betsy Otter Thompson, and the show is called Finding Comfort. She's going to be on the air on November 14th. At 10 a.m., and I'll be looking. You have an incredible day, and I look forward to connecting in a few weeks. Bye-bye.